Some people are promoting the idea that John the Baptist, Yahya, Hadrat Yahya, yes, السلام, was the father of Jesus Christ.
No, John the Baptist?
John the Baptist.
Yes, yes.
Hadrat Yahya.
Yes.
They claim
but he was that younger, he, younger in age to him.
Well, they
still, unfortunately, you know.
Still they claim that he was
the father. Spiritually a father, of course. Like I said, Khatamun Nabiyyin meaning the spiritual father,
yes,
but not literal father.
The question is there in the writings of the promised Messiah and the teachings of the Holy Quran anything which contradicts this false idea?
Well, first of all, as I said, the history contradicts this. He is known to be younger than Jesus Christ, or if, even if older, only by a margin of 2-3 years. That's the most. So, that is obviously wrong. Secondly, the Holy Quran has adopted a special phraseology for Jesus Christ as against all other prophets. No other prophet is mentioned by with a reference to his being his mother's son. Even prophets are not mentioned in a coupled way, being related to their fathers. For instance, when Hazrat Ismail is mentioned, it doesn't say, the Holy Quran doesn't say Ismail ibn Ibrahim, or Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, or Yaqub ibn Ishaq, and so on. Only one prophet is mentioned in relation to his parents. And out of the parents, only mother is mentioned and no father is mentioned. So that is a very significant deviation from the general style of the Holy Quran. If Jesus Christ had an earthly father, positively his name should have been mentioned. That omission tells us that he did not have any earthly father. And when again the Holy Quran raises the question by some Christians, mentions the question by some Christians, that because Jesus Christ had no father, so he should be treated as God and Son of God, the Holy Quran does not refute this question by telling us the name of the father and saying, you don't know, he had that father. It accepts the question, does not challenge it, and says, Adam, according to you, was born without a mother and without a father, so he should be turned into a greater god, if that is the reason for one's being a god. So all these two references are quite suffice to establish that according to the Holy Quran, Jesus Christ had no father. And Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam has also mentioned categorically that he had no earthly father. Yet it is not against the law of nature for a child to be born without the help of a father. That part is established now scientifically, although it is not established as positive phenomena among human beings, yet among certain animals this has been established, and all the scientists who know the subject know also this, that this can happen among lower species. And also occasionally among some higher species. About the man, this phenomena, if it was operative, could not be established. It was impossible. Because suppose some children were born without a father, nobody would believe. Unless Allah had given evidence that here the lady was virgin, and the son was born really without a father, nobody could have believed. And nobody had enough scientific know-how to establish this fact. So in the past it was impossible from any angle. The only incident we find in history about which Allah bears witness that such a lady was pious and chaste, and the child was born without the participation of a husband, is Jesus Christ. So that is we believe. But again, there is no scientific evidence. As far as the present world is concerned, there is a possibility that scientifically a claim can be either accepted or rejected, even after the birth of a child. So according to some magazine, I don't know the name, but I told someone to write to Rabba to get the details. I wonder whether it has been done or not. Masood Jalmi is here? Masood sir? An article was published in an Indonesian magazine, which was taken from another magazine of some repute, according to that magazine, from some South Africa, South American countries. And a full study report of a similar case was discussed in that article. According to that article, a girl became pregnant in one of the South American states, and despite the fact that it was so common there, there was absolutely no reason for her to insist that no boy or man had touched her. She insisted so vehemently and so innocently to her parents that she had never been touched by anyone, that they started taking interest. And they reported the matter to various hospitals and doctors. So they knew the child and they told them that we know the nature of this child, she is not like that, and there's no reason why, because we were not angry at all even if that had happened. So the parents told the physicians and some staff of the big hospitals that we are certain that there is something in what she says. According to the article, the medical world of that country started taking interest, and when the news went abroad, some American physicians and surgeons also started taking interest in the subject. And when the child, the time of birth came near, all various authorities converged on that occasion and scientifically started examining all various features connected with this childbirth. Now they were flabbergasted when they analyzed the blood of the child to find that there was no trace whatsoever of any chromosome having played its part from a male side. Because both chromosomes which were found in that girl, the girl was born, belonged to her mother. And this was established by minute investigations. Because the characters of both the chromosomes belonged to the same mother and they were identical chromosomes. While if one chromosome had been taken from a husband or a man, that chromosome could not have identical characteristics. Although it might have created a female, it could have produced identical characteristics. So let me explain first, those who do not understand this language, what chromosomes are and how they can be scientifically observed. Each reproductive cell in the body has half the number of chromosomes of each cell of the body. The human beings have 48 chromosomes as a law. And each species has its own number of chromosomes. Chromosomes are thread-like things which are found in every cell of a living being. And they are in fact the coded messages of life, which decide about the character of that species, that being, that order, that whatever it is, to the minutest detail. And the chromosomes are found in pairs. For instance, the chromosomes of a male in human being would always be 1.5 chromosome. If the thread is like these two fingers of equal size, then that child with which has chromosomes of equal thread, equal size thread, would always be a girl, never a boy. For a boy to be born, it is necessary that one chromosome should be full and the other chromosome should be half. So there is no equality in nature in that respect either. If women, in fact, have inherited more than men have. They are more sturdy in nature than men are, in fact, in reality, because they are born with 48 complete chromosomes, and every male child is born with 48 chromosomes, but half of them are complete and half of them are half. This is the situation. Now, this is the general picture. Now, each chromosome which is provided to a child is representative in half of the mother and in half of the father. That is to say, half of the chromosomes have been inherited from father and half from the mother. So that shows that in every child, the full chromosome must have come from the mother. And the half chromosome must have come from the father. Because if the full chromosome was from the father, the mother did not have any half chromosome. So it was only the father's child, nothing of mother had been taken in that case. So it is automatically inferred in the case of a child that every full chromosome is supplied by the mother and every half chromosome is supplied by the father. And in case of a girl, either of the two full chromosomes belong to the father and either of the two belongs to the mother. Now, father's chromosomes in fundamental nature are the same apparently as mother's chromosomes. But when they examine the chromosomes further, they find them provided with genes bearing characters. And there are so many characters to every gene. And there are so many genes in each chromosome. For instance, one gene would be there which would be coded about the eyes or hearing of the child. If that gene is defective, then a child would be born maybe without eyes or without hearing aid, without ears or drum or whatever it is. So that chromosome which has that gene is not only supplied with just this simple information. Millions of orders are congested into this information about how the cell should behave, how a auditory canal is made, and how a corresponding nervous system is to be made, and how they should be connected, and how the drum of the ear should be made, and how the outer form of the ear should be made, and all the distance and the shape. So many things go into this that it's unbelievably large number of characters which are added to each gene. And then they are transferred, the order of that gene is transferred to other relative parts of the body through messenger cells, and they are called RNAs. And the fundamental coded message as itself is called DNA. So this is the general picture of the thing. So when scientists analyze all these factors, they positively know that this gene does not belong to the female and it belongs to the male. Because, for instance, if a gene carries the character of eyes, it will also be said there that the eyes should be blue or brown. So if the eyes of the mother are blue, all her genes found in every cell of the body would bear the same message, that the eyes should be blue. If the father's eyes are brown, for instance, The message would be, the eyes should be brown. And that message is further complicated, because two messages can be there together with one result. A gene can carry both the messages that it should be blue and it should be brown, but nature has established that when two orders are given, one order would be treated as dominant and the other as recessive. So if the order is about the blue color and brown is predominant, so for a child who has both these orders present in the genes, in the first generation it is a must that he should be a brown-eyed child. And a completely different message can be found in the father's case. So these are so many, I mean, I'm just telling you a very minute part of the problem. By understanding these problems, the scientists can positively establish whether a child has inherited some chromosomes which do not belong to her mother, or she or he has all the chromosomes of the mother. Because by just a cursory examination of the chromosomes, the differences must be observed immediately. According to this article, the child which was born to that girl, she had identical chromosomes. Two chromosomes, of course, because otherwise she could not be born, but bearing all the characters in its entirety, that of the female, because those characters were obviously available to them. They could take a cell of the body of a female, the mother, and study the characters of chromosomes. So they could immediately establish that no other chromosome has been inherited. Both the chromosomes of the mother were inherited. So that is what I mean, that according to this article, I don't know whether this is reliable or not, but people are beginning to think, and the scientists too, that such things are possible. A while ago, a few years ago, there was a debate in Herald or some other papers. Mr. Naseem Saifi has published an article on this, and some very interesting debate went on between physicians belonging to this subject, that is gynecology, and also scientists belonging to the subject of genetics took part, and it was widely published in some British papers. And a number of scientists of renown and reliability had expressed this opinion that scientifically it is possible that a child is born without the help of a father. And they proposed many possibilities, not only this like we come across in this case, but like there being a hermaphrodite, a child being born with two sexes at the same time, and both developing to a degree that one triggers off the other. And once one gets, once one is excited and it begins to develop, then according to the medical law, the other must recede ultimately and die out. Because both cannot normally develop to full maturity. But by chance, they can have some parallel development together for a while, but after one has activated fully, the other must recede and wither out. So this is how they make the sex operations. Not that they can change the sex of human beings, they are completely incapable of doing it. What the surgeons do, and what you read about in the papers, is this, that a child is born with both sexes, and both together cannot develop fully. So that child would neither be a male nor a female. A part of one sex has to be taken out and removed, so the chance is given to the other part to fully develop. So they give the choice to the person whether you would like to be a boy or a female. And sometimes they also help and advise after observing the situation, and they say, in your case, perhaps the male part is developing faster and it may overtake, so it would be natural for you to become a male, or the vice versa. So these things are now being observed, but previously it was only the evidence of Allah which decided that Mary was chaste, otherwise scientifically it could not be proved.